Mount Cheehaw is my Everest, and the Coosa is my now. Alabama's where I was born and raised, and I think I'll stay a while. We sing about sweet home and Dixieland delight. We tell stories about what goes on in Montgomery at midnight.
Welcome back to the Jeff Moore Show at FM Talk 106, 534 minutes after the hour on this Friday morning. Thank you very much for listening. Still to come on the program from Alabama Today, April Marie Fogle, Congressman Jerry Carl, and we'll wrap it all up with State Senator Chris Elliott, as we do every Friday. So make sure you stay tuned. Also, 251-343-0106 if you want to weigh in on anything. I see I have raised the temperature in the room for Grant, but that's okay. We'll get to that after a while. Joining us now, very pleased to bring on State Representative Chip Brown, fresh off his tour of duty for the 2021 legislative session. Representative, good morning. How are you?
Hey, great, Jeff. It's great to be with you.
Hey, thanks for taking the time. We really do appreciate it. Another one of these regular sessions in the books, and here we are kind of over almost 2 weeks removed from it. How do you feel about this year?
Well, you know, had some wins, had some losses, had some bills that I wanted to gain traction that didn't. All in all, I thought it was a good session. On my end, I had a Nias law, you know, that is a comprehensive criminal bond reform bill that, in Alabama, the only time you can be held without bond is if you're charged with capital murder. And this bill changes it to violent Class A felonies and allow a prosecutor to request someone be held without bond. And a judge can hold a hearing and grant that or deny that request. And so I think that was a huge win. Not just for me, but for, Alabama. I mean, it'll be on the ballot next year. It's named after Nia Blanchard, who was the young college student.
Looks like we lost Representative Brown there. We're going to try to get him back here just and see what's going on here. But let's see.
I don't know.
There we go. There. We got you. Yeah. Just had a drop call. So, you know how it goes.
Yeah. Well, technology,
right. You were saying, just talk about, you had some pretty significant legislative wins, maybe not typical for a lot of members, but you certainly had a good session.
Well, that Anaya's Law, which named after Nia Blanchard, who was the young college student from Birmingham, who was just minding her own business and was in a convenience store. In Auburn, she went to Southern Union College up there in Opelika and was spotted in a convenience store. And the person that's alleged of her killing spotted her, kidnapped her, assaulted her, and killed her. That individual was out on bond for an assault, a robbery, kidnapping, and attempted murder. But yet he was able to bond out because the current system, if you're not charged with capital murder, then you're able to bond out. And so we hear that over and over, across the state, those types of crimes. And so that bill, if it's approved by the voters next fall, then that'll actually keep a lot of people safe because it'll allow us to keep the worst of the worst behind bars. And then another one I was proud of that was one of my bills that we passed was, the Sexual Assault Survivors Bill of Rights. And what that says is that if you're a victim of sexual assault, that you'll never have to pay for a rape kit or an exam, or you can't be denied an exam. And it also says that what I think is an important feature is that it says that if you're a juvenile, the evidence of your assault, your sexual assault, has to be kept until you're at least 40, and then you can have it renewed for another 20 years. And then if you're an adult, it has to be kept for a minimum of 20 years, and then you can have it renewed for another 20 years. And you have to be notified of any DNA matches. And it also sets a task force that's chaired by the Attorney General to review policy and recommend legislation and that sort of thing. And so I think that's important. We all watch those crime shows where they go back and find DNA evidence on an assault or a murder that happened years ago, and this will allow for the first time a minimum standard of having to keep evidence in a sexual assault. So I law enforcement tells me that it'll solve a lot of crimes, and so that's what's important. You know, we put the bad guys behind bars.
Well, certainly, I think much needed and much appreciated by a lot of folks. So let's move on to the. I kind of joke about this, but it's turned out to be a little bit of a hot button, and I think you could clear a lot of the confusion up here. Let's talk about the Strengthen Alabama Homes program, the Fortified Roof program the state does, and just kind of give us the basics and tell us what you think needs to be done, to structurally to the program to improve it.
Well, you know, the Strengthen Alabama Homes program has been a very successful program. It's what it does is it provides $10,000 grants to individuals that need roofs. And since the inception of the program, it's provided $24 million in funding for new roofs and of allocations that have gone out. And the way the program works is it's pretty simple. You know, you go online and you sign up for the program, and then they send someone out to look at your roof and tell you if you need a new roof. And then if you need a new roof, you go on and you pick from a list of contractors. Then you pick three contractors. They come out, they give you a bid, and you pick which one you want. And then when your number comes up, they come out, they put your roof on, and whatever that over the $10,000 that's provided by the state, by the State Department of Insurance, then you pay the difference directly to that contractor. And so the way it's set up now, the funds come from a pool that's collected twice a year by the Department of Insurance, and insurance companies pay into that pool voluntarily. And why they do that is because if you have a fortified home, it's good for the consumer because you can have less damage, and it also reduces your insurance rates a lot of times by half. And for insurance companies, it's good for them because they get less claims filed. So it's a win-win all the way around. The only problem with the program is that it just hasn't had enough funding to catch up to the demand. And so there's always been a backlog of people applying for the program that often have to wait 2-3 years for the funding. So what I did was, after Hurricane Sally, and you still see blue tarps all over the place from the hurricane, the speaker came down and we went to Orange Beach and looked at a neighborhood. Representative Matt Simpson had set that up for him to come down. And we went and looked at a neighborhood, and the city manager down there, Kenny Grimes, pointed out the roofs that had blue tarps did not have fortified roofs, and the roofs that didn't have blue tarps had fortified roofs. And so he and I had a discussion that day. We drove over to Dauphin Island, and so that was one of his top priorities. Was he and I discussed about getting better funding for the program. So the week after the hurricane, I drove to Montgomery and sat down with the Department of Insurance, and we crafted this legislation with the goal being in mind to wipe out the backlog, which at that time was around 1,300 people, and now it's whittled down to under 900, and to provide for the first time that what the funding would do, anything over 20% in this year's budget would go towards Strengthen Alabama Homes. It was a one-time shot to clear out the backlog. And you got to remember, the insurance department is funded by insurance companies through fees and registration fees and fines and that sort of thing. And so traditionally, anything left over in the budget goes directly to the general fund. Well, what this did, that one-time shot would give the Strengthen Alabama Homes several million dollars that were just going back to the general fund. Didn't originate there, but we're going there. And it would clear out that backlog. And then moving forward, it was stipulated in the bill that the insurance commissioner could allocate up to 50% of his budget to strengthen Alabama homes in case there were a storm or moving forward if we were short money. I mean, it's a good program. There's no complaints that I've ever heard, ever, other than having to wait. And so for the first time, this would provide the adequate funding that's needed for the program. I mean, plain and simple. Well, all said in the bill.
The one of the complaints about it is it creates a very narrow, or at least maybe it doesn't create, but there does seem to be this problem where there's not the pool of contractors is a little too narrow, that's a little too small. Is there a way to increase the number of participants, or what do you think about those complaints?
Well, let me tell you what, I've only heard that one complaint from the person that opposed the bill. So yeah, it is narrow right now, but the reason it's narrow is that every one of those contractors that are in the program right now have winning bids to do on roofs that when their number comes up, these people are going to get roofs. So they're not taking new applicants because the funding mechanism isn't there. This bill would have addressed that, and moving forward, it would have been adequate money. So the pool of contractors would have grown back to where it once was because you would be able to accept new bids. There's no sense in having all these contractors listed if they didn't win. So the contractors that are listed actually have work moving forward until they accept new applicants. When they accept new applicants, they'll add contractors to it. But you also have to remember, too, that there's a training mechanism with this. You can't just, I mean, would you want a program where it was just open so that you had a contractor's license, but they had no idea if you knew how to put on a fortified roof or not, then if you were accepted into the program? What Strength Alabama Homes does is that it requires you to have IBHS, which is Insurance Institute Security, safety training, and then they're vetted. And so, and they're tracked. They're tracked on complaints, that sort of thing. And if they have too many complaints, or if they're, a problem with the consumer, then they're removed from the program. And so, I mean, the plan is always to open it back up to more contractors that qualify to get the training. And it'll happen when that backlog is cleared out. And that was actually addressed in the bill, that it would have cleared out the backlog.
Yeah, so but it just sounds like that's one thing. Maybe there's a fix for that. I don't know. And the other question,
there is a fix for it, and the fix is that if we would have passed this bill, it would have cleared out the backlog, and it would have opened it up to where there would have been more contractors in the program, so that consumers would have more choice. I mean, that's always the ideal,
Well, what about the oversight mechanism here? How would you with anything we've done in government lately, it seems, so Rebuild Alabama Act, for example, there's a joint committee. I don't know if you necessarily need something, a legislative kind of keeping an eye on things, but is there a provision in there, or maybe it's already pre-existing in there, that makes sure that everything's kind of, working as it is supposed to be working?
Yeah, sure. There is actually. The program is monitored within this Department of Insurance, and they have removed contractors that participate in the program. I know of a few actually that were in the program and are no longer in the program. They may still be contractors, but they're no longer in the program. And so it is oversight, and the oversight is by the Department of Insurance. I mean, this whole question of oversight, really, it's one of those things that it's important we have oversight of our programs. It is. But it's also a way to jump behind an issue that you oppose and say we've got to have oversight or transparency and that sort of thing. As I said, I've never heard a complaint in Strength Alabama Homes other than having to wait too long. I mean, the bids are competitive, because if they weren't competitive, you have three options to pick from when you go on. You don't just have to pick one contractor. You get to pick three bids. That's no different than you as an individual going out and calling three contractors to come and give a a bid on a roof. I mean, it's no difference. So, you know, the oversight of it, it's there and it exists. But, you know, for some reason, all of a sudden, it's a catchphrase.
Well, I'll just say this, a couple of texts here on the text line and hearing from other people. There's also problems with the website and the functionality of it. Are these kind of systemic things something that your bill would fix? That there needs to be, I guess, more resources, not just to the program itself, but to the administration of the program and making sure that people are able to access it properly.
Well, I will say this on that, Jeff, is that when they rolled this program out several years ago, I don't think they anticipated the popularity of it. I mean, Baldwin County and Mobile County, of the top 20 cities in the United States that have fortified roofs, and fortified roof, anyone can, you can call your contractor and get a fortified roof put on outside of Strength Alabama Homes. And I'd encourage people to do that because it does lower your insurance premium and it's just a good thing. You're going to have less hurricane damage, especially with hurricane season approaching. But you know, there are a lot of the issues that have existed early on and some that may continue are because it was a program that they didn't anticipate the growth of it. And that's obvious with the number of, I mean, there were problems with it. You know, they didn't say we have this much money for roofs and they continued to take applicants when they should have cut that off. And that's what they've done now. See, they've learned from their mistakes. And it, you know, it's a good program. I mean, think about what we're talking about. We're talking about a program that is not taxpayer dollars. It's monies that are put in by the insurance companies that provide grants for people to fortify their roofs. And it's not second homes. It's not vacation homes. It's homes for people that live and work, not just in Mobile and Baldwin County, but across the state of Alabama. You know, we talked about contractors earlier. I mean, there's contractors that are in this program that are in Birmingham, Tuscaloosa, Huntsville, Auburn, all over the state, but they're not listed on the website because they don't currently have any jobs going on in those areas.
Right.
But when it opens back up, they'll be all back on there. So a lot of those, all those minor issues that you're talking about have been corrected or being corrected, you know? So, I mean, the people of my district, you know, they appreciate the fact that they can get funding to assist them with a fortified roof that'll protect their house. And that's at the end of the day, as an elected official that represents a district, that's my job, is to try to look out for the people of my district and the people of the state. And I think this bill, which had no opposition,
right,
and then all of a sudden had minor opposition.
Representative, I hate to do this. I got to cut you off here. We're up against a break, but thank you for making time for us. So we get you on back again to talk more about this in the future.
Well, thank you, Jeff, and I will pre-file this bill, and we're going to get passed next year.
All right, thanks a lot.
We're going to provide the money.
All right. State Representative Chip Brown on the line. We got to get a break here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5. Gone, gone with the wind.